ரெண்டு மண்டபம்.
ஸ்ரீ கிருஷ்ண சைதன்ய பிரபு நிச்சயானந்த ஸ்ரீ துவைத கிருதாத்தா சிவசுதி கௌர பக்தவிருந்த ஹரே கிருஷ்ணா ஹரே கிருஷ்ணா 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 ஹரே 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 ராமா ஹரே ராம 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 ஹரே ஹரே. ரீடிங் ஃப்ரம் ஸ்ரீமத் பாகவதம் கேண்டோ 8 சாப்டர் 3 வெர்ஸ் 11. சத்வேன பிரதிலப்யாய நைஷ்கர்மேண விபஸ்சிதா Satvena, by pure devotional service, prati labhyaya, unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who was achieved by such devotional activities. Naishkarmena, by transcendental activities, vipaschita, by persons who are sufficiently learned. Namaha. I offer my respectful obeisances, Kaivalyanathaya, unto the master of the transcendental world, Nirvana, completely freed from material activities, Sukha, of happiness, Samvide, who is the bestower. Translation: the Supreme Personality of God is realized by pure devotees who act in the transcendental existence of bhakti yoga. He is the bestower of uncontaminated happiness and is the master of the transcendental world. Therefore, I offer my respect unto him. Purport as stated in Bhagavad Gita, the Supreme Personality of God can be understood only by devotional service. Bhaktyamam abhijanati yavan yas chasmi tapataha. If one wants to know the Supreme Personality of God, in truth, one must take to the activities of devotional service. These activities are called sattva or pseudo-sattva. In the material world, activities of goodness which are symptomatic of a pure brahmana are appreciated. But the activities of devotional service are pseudo-sattva. In other words, they are on the transcendental platform. Only by devotional service can one understand the Supreme. Devotional service is called naishkarmya. Mere negation of material activities will not endure. Naishkarmyam apyachuta bhava varjitam. Unless one performs activities with reference to Krishna consciousness, cessation of material activities will not be helpful. In hopes of achieving naishkarmya, freedom from material action, many highly elevated sannyasis stop their activities. Yet they failed and returned to the material platform to act as materialistic persons. But once one is engaged in the spiritual activities of bhakti yoga, one does not fall down. Our Krishna consciousness movement is therefore an attempt to engage everyone always in spiritual activity by which one becomes transcendental to material actions. The spiritual activities of bhakti yoga, sravanam, kirtanam, vishnu, smaranam, padasevanam, lead one to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, as stated here, Satvena Pratilabhyaya Naishkarmyena Vipaschita. The Supreme Personality of God is realized by pure devotees who act in the transcendental existence of Bhakti Yoga. The Gopaltapani Upanishad says, Bhaktir Asya Bhajanam Tad Iha Mutropadi Naish Nairasyena Eva Amushmi manasa kalpanam etad eva cha naishkarmyam. This is a definition of naishkarmya. One acts in naishkarmya when he is fully engages in Krishna consciousness activities without material desires to enjoy, either here or in the upper planetary systems, in the present life or in the future. Anya abhilasha sunyam. When one is freed from all contamination, he acts in devotional service under the direction of the spiritual master. One is on the platform of Naish Karma. By such transcendental devotional service, the Lord is served. I offer my respectful obeisances unto him. Translation: the Supreme Personality of God is realized by pure devotees who act in the transcendental existence of Bhakti Yoga. He is a bestower of uncontaminated happiness and is the master of the transcendental world. Therefore, I offer my respect unto him. So, here we have Gajendra offering his prayers to the Supreme Lord with the explanation of how he is attained. And in that explanation, we find several words which have several meanings. Sattva. One meaning of sattva is material goodness. It's bondage, part of material world. So here it says, the Lord is attained by sattva. So it cannot mean material sattva, because the Supreme Lord is nirguna. So therefore the explanation is sudha sattva, by pure goodness. So the term sudha-sattva is used in reference to Supreme Lord in the spiritual world. Sattva is used in reference to material world. So therefore, sattva here cannot mean the material sattva, it must mean sudha-sattva. So he is attained by sudha-sattva. He's attained by naishkarmya, which literally means activities which have no karma, or by no activities. So obviously, you cannot give up all activities in order to attain even jnana. We have to do some activities of jnana. So ultimately, it is impossible to give up all activities to attain anything. So usually the term refers to activities that do not incur reactions. That is karma. In that sense, naishkarmya. No karmic reactions. Activities that do that. However, that's good for jnana. Activities that don't lead to karma. But simply by doing such activities, one does not get the Supreme Lord. In other words, we have to do special activities to attain the Supreme Lord. Those are activities of bhakti. Those activities of bhakti also do not give karma. So in that sense, they are naishkarmya. But they actually go beyond naishkarmya, activities which don't give karma, because they give the Supreme Lord. So all activities of bhakti are naishkarmya, but all naishkarmya activities are not bhakti. Because jnana also can be called naishkarmya. So definitely the activities do not give karma, but they're more than that, the activities concerning the Supreme Lord. And then it says vipaschata. So a vipaschit is a knowledgeable person, a truly wise person. Paschata comes from pasyati, to see, and vi, to see in a very special manner. So one who sees very wonderfully, he is a vipaschit, or a wise man. So his vision is much better. So in the Upanishads, this often refers to the jnani or to the devotee. Now, of course, what does the jnani see? Ultimately, he can't see anything because he merges into Brahman and he has no senses. So the wise person who really sees is the devotee who sees with spiritual eyes. Yeah? So therefore, the Lord is attained by the devotee with his spiritual senses, who does spiritual activities with his spiritual organs, his spiritual body, who does activities that do not incur any karma and are beyond the gunas, their sudasattva. Yeah? So this is how the Supreme Lord is attained. He's attained by bhakti and the devotee who performs bhakti, which does not give bondage to the material world and is beyond the gunas. Basically, that's the meaning of this. Pratilabhyaya. So, he is not attained by material activities, nor is he attained simply by jnana or yoga. Okay? Engagement of the activities in such a way that we develop spiritual senses to see the Lord and experience the Lord. Okay? So that is achieved by bhakti. Here, he is also called Kaivalyanatha. Kaivalya usually has a bad connotation, emerging in Brahman. if he is the master of Kaivalya, that can mean he is actually superior to Brahman, as we see in Bhagavad Gita. I am the basis of Brahman. Brahmano pratishtaham. I am the basis of Brahman. I am not Brahman. I am the cause of Brahman. Brahman is my secondary aspect. That is what Bhagavad Gita says. So, he is the master of Kaivalya, means he is ultimately the source of impersonal realization. It doesn't mean he is impersonal, but he is the source of that. As we know, the Lord is Brahman, Parama, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. Brahman is not independent. It is only an aspect of Bhagavan. So, therefore, it can mean that he is the master of the other realizations like Brahman, etc. All realizations are included in the Lord. The other meaning of Kaivalya actually is bhakti. It's referred to as Kaivalya in 5th canto of Bhagavatam. So, why that? If we look at the meaning, Kaivalya comes from Kevala. Kevala can mean only, which means oneness. In that sense, Kaivalya means enter into the oneness of Brahman, impersonal, with no form and no qualities. Kevala, of course, has another meaning, and that is pure. So, what is pure? Pure bhakti or prema. So therefore, he's the master of prema, Kaivalyanatha. Means he is the master of bhakti and prema. So that is acceptable to the devotees. In either case, we cannot actually give an impersonal meaning to this phrase, because the word Kaivalyanatha itself implies there's something beyond impersonal Brahman. If he says Nama Kaivalyaya, yeah, okay, it's simply Brahman. But if he says to the master of Kaivalya, then we must accept that there is someone superior to that Brahman, impersonal Brahman. So therefore, we cannot take an impersonal meaning of that particular phrase. Then we have another impersonal phrase here, Nirvana Sukha, happiness of, again, merging in Brahman. This is nirvana, is often used for impersonal realization. Also used by the Buddhists. And we have nirvana. That means getting some sort of enlightenment or oneness. Technically, actually, it means negative. It's a negative term. To extinguish, to negate everything. So, obviously, it's negation of ignorance, negation of karma, negation of all material things. In that sense, it expresses something like Brahman, which is no form, no qualities, no activities of the material world, etc. At the same time, we have sukha, happiness. So can nirvana give happiness? If it is nothingness, negation, how can there be happiness there? So technically, if we have, philosophically speaking, in Brahman, there is no happiness. Because there's nothing to be happy about. There is no experience of happiness. Brahman has no object to be happy about. It's only there, that's all. So its mere existence in being conscious is happiness, we can say, in that sense. But happiness as we know it, to observe something or experience something, is not there in Brahman, impersonal happiness. It is only the happiness of existence, that's all. And being conscious. Or we can say the absence of ignorance and suffering. That is the happiness or the bliss of Brahman. Therefore, in one sense, there's a contradiction if we say the happiness of Brahman. It's not real happiness at all. The other meaning, of course, is we can take the, if we take it personally, the nirvana, of course, can refer to absence of material things. And the sukha can refer to spiritual bliss in relation to the Supreme Lord or the devotees or whatever. So in other words, nirvana sukha can mean pure bliss in the spiritual world, not material happiness, which is subject to temporary things and mixture with suffering, etc. So therefore it means eternal, pure happiness beyond the material world. Samvit. Here we have samvit, unto a person who is samvit. So samvit, of course, he has the samvit shakti of the Lord. That is the knowledge potency. Vid means, of course, to know. Vidya, knowledge. Vidyate, to know. And of course, sam means to know everything or to know completely. So the Lord is completely knowledgeable of everything, omniscient, so to speak. So his samvit shakti is the shakti of knowledge in the spiritual world. By that shakti, the Lord knows things. And the devotees know things. If they don't know things, then they cannot experience things. So they are conscious. Conscious in what way? They can hear, they can see, they can touch, they can smell, whatever. That's the knowledge. We have five knowledge gathering senses in the material world. That's how you get your knowledge. Through seeing, hearing, touching, tasting. Spiritual world like that also. Of course, you don't actually need senses as such in the spiritual world, because as Brahma Samhita says, the Lord can interchange his senses, doesn't matter. Any sense can do anything. But for Leela, etc., the Lord uses his mouth to eat and his ears to hear and his eyes to see, etc. Of course, he knows everything automatically, but he uses his senses also. And the devotees in their spiritual bodies use their senses also, in particular ways. So therefore, we have expressions in the Bhagavatam of how the gopis are, they see the Lord with their eyes, and they're praying, don't let our eyelids close, because then we can't see him. If they didn't need their eyelids, they wouldn't pray like that. So they're actually using their eyes. So the Lord is, of course, omniscient in some bit, and he uses his senses. How does it all operate? Through the samvit shakti of the Lord. How do the devotees develop perception of the Lord? So we see in the stage of bhava, there is the manifestation of samvit and pladini shaktis in the jiva. because of that, the jiva can perceive the Lord. He can know the Lord through the Samvit Shakti. So that manifests in the stage of bhava. And the devotees develop spiritual bodies. And with those spiritual bodies, they use their spiritual senses to serve the Lord. So that is how they perceive the Lord, with their spiritual bodies, which have developed through the Samvit Shakti. If we do not have the Samvit Shakti manifested, what happens? We cannot perceive the Lord. What happens? Brahman. This consciousness of nothing. There's no perception of anything, no object to see. No need, no necessity of senses. So the Gyani does not develop spiritual senses. He does not have spiritual perception because he doesn't need it. He is not perceiving anything. Okay. On the other hand, the devotees do develop this. How does it develop? How do you develop spiritual eyes? So we have the process of sadhana. In the process of sadhana, what do? We use the material eyes to see the Lord. But we get a spiritual effect. How is that possible? Because of bhakti. Through the process of bhakti, we develop spiritual senses, though we at this time we use our material sense. How does it work? Because of the bhakti. If there's no bhakti there, your eye won't manifest anything spiritual. Because of the bhakti, then spiritual sense begins to develop, and eventually we see the Lord. So when that the bhakti is strong enough, then we can see the Lord. So that particular stage where the senses are strong enough that it gives us perception through the Samvit Shakti, that is bhava stage. Then Lord becomes visible. You see the Lord, smell the Lord, hear the Lord, etc. through the Samvit Shakti at that stage. Which also means simultaneously, the obstacles, anartas, ahankara, which block that perception are dissipated. The stronger the bhakti becomes, the weaker the obstacles become. So it is like developing a vision or an eye. Simultaneously, the vision becomes stronger, and simultaneously, the coverings become weaker and weaker and weaker. If we simply remove the coverings, but don't develop the vision, what happens? Impersonal Brahman. No senses. This perception itself, consciousness, that's it. So as bhakti develops, automatically coverings disappear, which is what you get in liberation, plus development of spiritual senses. This happens through bhakti. Why or how? Because we are using our senses in sadhana bhakti to serve the Lord. So that's a practice using our senses. And then Atma itself begins to develop spiritual body, spiritual senses through that process. So that is the particular nature of bhakti. And therefore, there are activities in bhakti. We do not try to give up activities. We do activities, but do them with devotion. So then, naishkarmya happens. No karma. No bad reaction for that. But the positive aspect is spiritual development. So it is vishuddha sattva. What happens? Actually, the word vishuddha sattva, actually in the definition of bhav bhakti, is sanvit pladini shaktis, manifestation. So in one sense, we can say that these two terms, sattvena and naishkarmi, refer to destruction of all the negative aspects and development of the positive things, that is sanvit and pladini shaktis, so that one can perceive the Lord. So what is that? Process of bhakti. That is what it does. In sadhana, we destroy the karmas, we destroy the anartas, destroy the ahankara, false ego, etc. And we develop samvit hladini shaktis, sattva. This is how the Lord is attained. And if we don't do that method, we do not attain the Lord. What do we attain? If it's material sattva, material result. Svargaloka, Brahmaloka. If it is jnana or yoga, a nice karma, just get rid of the activities itself. No development of spiritual senses, we get impersonal Brahman. So, we do not attain the Lord, in other words. So to attain the Lord beyond material world and beyond Brahman, then we have to do the process of bhakti, by which we develop spiritual senses to see the Lord. So, in this way, we have a praise in this particular verse of the process of bhakti, the method by which we can see the Lord. And who is that Lord? He is the one that bestows prema and bliss to the devotee. That is Kaivalyanath, a master of prema. He is the source of the bhakti, which makes this whole process happen. And that bhakti manifests in the jiva. How does it manifest? Why doesn't he give it to everybody? Why doesn't everybody get bhakti? So we see in Chaitanya Charitamrita, there Lord Chaitanya explains, we get the bhakti lata bija, the seed of the plant of bhakti, by the mercy of Guru and Krishna. But then, how do we get the mercy of Guru and Krishna? Now, Krishna is like the cloud, and he is merciful to everybody in the material world. He doesn't discriminate. And similarly, Guru, devotees, don't discriminate. They want to give bhakti to everybody. So then why doesn't everybody get the seed of bhakti? In one sense, yes, everybody gets, but not everybody receives. Everybody gets the seed, but nothing happens to it. The example is given in the Bible. Parable, it's called a parable, a little story. So Christ tells the story of seeds. So we have some seeds, and we plant them on the barren ground, on rocks. What happens? Nothing happens. They don't sprout. They dry up in the sun, finished, destroyed. We put them in the wet ground. What happens? They get moldy and they rot. Also, they don't work. We have to put them in the fertile ground, which is not too dry, not too wet. Then they sprout. But nevertheless, we can spread seeds all over the earth. Some places they don't sprout, some places they sprout. Similarly, Supreme Lord and devotees spread the mercy everywhere. Some places it sprouts, some places it doesn't sprout. Some people receive, some people don't receive. Why? Because the heart is not fertile. It is not the proper medium. In other words, some people can't accept that seed. Nothing happens when they get it. Other people, it happens. What is the determining factor? It is called Shraddha or faith. That person who has Shraddha, then he takes the seed and it develops. That person who doesn't, nothing happens. So where does the faith come from? Previous mercy of devotees, that's all. So therefore, even if a person, we distribute the bhakti everywhere, not all people get, they don't develop. Still, no problem for them. Even if it doesn't sprout, continually giving the mercy, eventually they will get fertile and it will sprout eventually. So that is the process. And so that is why Krishna continually comes in the material world and gives bhakti, even though everybody doesn't accept it. Because they're exposed to it. And eventually they can get faith, and eventually they can accept it by that exposure. So this is the process of the devotional development, bhakti. So it is not the Lord's fault that everybody doesn't get bhakti. It is simply the nature of the jivas. Which means, or implies, that it takes a long, 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 long time for jivas to change their attitude and become a little favorable to the Lord. That little favorability is called the Shraddha. It takes a lot of influence of bhakti to produce that. Why? Is it the Lord's fault? No. Simply the stubborn nature of the jivas, that's all. So we cannot blame the Lord. He's trying all the time to do it. But he doesn't interfere with the desires of the jiva. If they want to stay in the material world and enjoy it, okay, he lets them do that. But he constantly exposes them to bhakti. Eventually, by that exposure, they become a little favorable. Then the seed can sprout. Yeah, well, we can interpret anyway, but the thing is, we have to take things in their context. Now here, these are prayers of Gajendra. And if Gajendra is praying for Kaivalya, he certainly didn't get it, because he got Vishnu. So if you pray for something, you should get the proper response. What did he get? He saw the Supreme Lord. The Supreme Lord saved him. So, therefore, the intention of Gajendra cannot be impersonal at all. So, therefore, it's a glorification of the personal form of the Lord. So, therefore, Kavayanatha cannot refer to anything impersonal, ultimately. It's a glorification of the Lord. And we have to take it in the context of previous verses, where we have the Lord is the creator of everything. How can it be the creator of something if there isn't anything? If there's nothing except Brahman, how can he create anything? Then the whole glorification is useless. All the words of Gajendra up at this point are meaningless, ultimately, if there's nothing created. It's all illusory. We're glorifying the Lord for doing nothing, creating an illusory world. Why? What's the use? Why glorify the Lord for creating something which is false? We could actually blame him and say, you're creating, fooling everybody by making a false world. So it doesn't make sense to give an impersonal interpretation. One, because of the context of other verses. Second, by what ultimately happened. He saw the Lord. Huh? What's that? Well, it's not indirect. Actually, through this, he is glorifying the Lord as the master of the impersonal. That he's beyond the impersonal. Because we have simultaneously words which contradict pure monism or oneness, because he is the Lord of Kaivalya. He is knowledgeable of, or gives knowledge of, and experience of bliss, etc. So they actually refer to the Supreme Lord in his personal aspect. Through intelligence, can we develop faith? Well, if we have devotional intelligence, okay, but generally, material intelligence, you cannot approach the Lord. Material mind, material senses, material intelligence, they will just give us material results. We can get up to sattva-guna intelligence, and then we can understand Atma. We can understand the Supreme Lord. We can get up impersonal. Through sattva-guna, we can get up to impersonal realization, that's all. That's as far as we go. We cannot understand Supreme Lord with that. Limited. No, doesn't. Yeah. If he had faith, then everyone would be devotees. But they're not. Yeah. So those people have faith. Others don't.